You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
I figure I'd sit there. Oh, I did forget. In the back, we have these posters. If there's a place, maybe at your work or school or someplace like that, that you could stick these, they're in the window, right in the foyer. Feel free to take a couple and put them out. I know, Vicki, you were asking about some for the school. We have plenty of these. So please take some of them, give them out, put this up somewhere, and, you know, let's pray for good weather, dry weather. That's what we need, dry weather, dry weather. I don't mind the cool weather. One year we did it, and it was cold, but then last year we did it, and I thought it was, like, warmer. Yeah, so you never know what you're going to get up here. You know, you just keep a jacket in your car, but thank you for being here again today. I'm just grateful that, you know, the Lord's doing a great work here and that, you know, many people are coming to, you know, just see and hear about Christ through Brimley. And thank you if you invited somebody, even if they didn't come today. Thank you for being that one that would invite a friend to come. And so we are going to step out of Ruth for today. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. And I want to look at a real friend, how many of you in here would be bold enough to raise your hand and say you have a really close friend? That's not a normal thing, you know, to have a very close friend. Someone that's, you know, you don't have many of them, right? You know, you have one or two or maybe three close friends. You know, but today I want to look at a real friend. And obviously, Friend Day, looking at Jesus, and we're going to be in John chapter 15, and we're going to be looking through verses 13 through 16, but in today's world, it is often said that we live in a digital friendship age, where we have numerous friends on social media, but lack genuine friendship in real life. We tend to avoid true friendship because they can be complicated and make us feel vulnerable. Many of us fear what others might think if they were to, if they were aware of our struggles, leading us to hide part of ourselves, much like Adam and Eve did in the garden after they sinned against God. They covered themselves with fig leaves to conceal the shame of their nakedness. It's in our nature. In the beginning, God desired a relationship with man. He would talk with Adam during the early morning hours. However, sin changed everything. While sin pulled man farther from God, God himself drew closer to man until God did the most selfless thing he could do for mankind. To restore a relationship that had long been separated by sin, God became flesh and blood. God became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. He showed us a picture of friendship and love that this world has never seen before. I love that in his love for us, he also established a church. We're sitting here today, maybe surrounded by some of our best friends because this is God's design, because he loved us. See, he also established his church built on his love, a place where Jesus is exalted, his word and taught, and where true friendships can be seen. See, the church is not merely a building that we visit on Sunday. It's the people that we sit next to in the service. That's the church. The church consists of individuals, not a religion, but a relationship among those united by their faith in Jesus. I want you to look at the person next to you that you don't know. Everybody, look at the person next to you that you don't know. Well, maybe you know of them. I'm saying, look at somebody other than your spouse, or your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or something. Look at them. They're the church. That's not a religion, is it? No, that's an individual. That's a person. And sometimes we forget that. And as we look at a friendship, you know, from the greatest friend You know, God has blessed us with a community of people to live out what friendship truly looks like. And so today we're going to look at a real friend. And so let's pray and dive right into it. Father, I come to you, and Lord, I do thank you for just giving us a clear picture of the best friend that we could ever have. Lord, and sometimes we look for friendship in all the wrong places. Lord, first, before we look for what real friendship looks like from you. Lord God, I pray that you teach us today. I pray that you'd open our eyes today. I pray that if somebody's never heard this message of a real friend and what Jesus demonstrated to us, Lord, I pray that you'd open their eyes. I pray that, Lord, if they've never put their faith in you, that they would today. Lord, and that you would show us, those trying to be friends to others, what a real friend looks like. Lord, I pray that you bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read the first couple verses of John 15. It says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's verse 13. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of me in the Father, ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." You know, today as we look at a real friend, the first thing I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, is the choice Jesus made to be our friend. The choice Jesus made to be our friend. In verse 16, it says, "Ye have not chosen me." What regards is he talking about? He's talking about that friendship. He's talking about being a friend. They did not choose him. He chose them. You know, the first thing that Jesus shows us about what a real friend looks like is friendship is a choice you make, not an accident that happens. Nobody just falls into a really good friendship. There is a choice that is made. Jesus made the first move to be our friend. He didn't wait for us to be his friend. He made the first move to be our friend. Understand, we could never get to him, but he could come to us. See, Jesus reveals to us that entering into a friendship is a choice. And it does have to be mutual to have a friendship, and we will get to that here in a little bit. But for right now, we are looking at how Jesus took and made the first step. When examining the life of Jesus and the individuals he chose to befriend, it is evident that his friendships were not founded on merit or social standings. He did not seek out those deemed worthy of his companionship, but rather those who were in need of his friendship. Did you get that? He did not seek out those deemed worthy of his companionship, but rather those who were in need of his friendship. Luke chapter 7, verse 33 would tell us what kind of friends Jesus was accused of having here. And I'm gratefully that he was. It says, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say that he hath a devil. The Son of Man," Jesus talking about himself, "is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." A wine bibber and a publican, he was not. Or a wine bibber and a gluttonous man, he was not. But a friend of publicans and sinners, he was. He came to those that needed his friendship. He came to those that could not merit or deserve his friendship. When we consider ourselves and what we were before Jesus came into our lives, we were the same. I love that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "And you hath he quickened, you and me hath he quickened, who were dead in our trespasses and sins." Before Jesus came into our lives, all that we had to show for our lives was trespasses and sins against God, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of the world. We lived like the world. We act like the world. There was no holiness in us. There was no righteousness in us, only full of unrighteousness, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was us. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. Talking about, man, the good old days and enjoying the party life. That was the conversations that we once had, that we once talked about. Fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and we're by natures the children of wrath, even as others. But God, here it is. God shows up to those who need him the most. God comes to that one that might not be looking for a friend or realizing that he needed that they needed a friend by the name of Jesus. But he comes and he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." See, we didn't deserve his love or his friendship, but he came to us anyway. When we were the most least deserving and most self-centered, and he chose to be my friend and to be your friend. See, Jesus chose to be your friend. In spite of your past, in spite of what it looked like and the tainted past that you came from, see, he chose to be your friend. See, the first thing that we see about a real friend in Jesus is that he chose us, in spite of our deficiencies, in spite of our not meriting or being able to. None of us are able to merit Jesus' friendship because none of us deserve it. We see the choice Jesus made to be our friend, but then we see, number two, the price Jesus paid to be our friend. The price Jesus paid to be our friend. See, Jesus was not a self-centered friend or a fair-weather friend. Anybody ever have any of those kind of friends? They're only around if you can do something for me. Or as long as you got something that I can benefit from you, then I'll hang out with you. But as long as you don't have anything, it's kind of like the prodigal son. He went into a far country and had a bunch of people hanging out while he had money in the bank account. But when the money ran out, he was all alone. He had a bunch of people that used him as friends. And you know, it's sad to say, Christians, I hope there's nobody in here looking to use anybody, because I think about Samson. You know, the Bible would say in Samson, I believe it's Judges chapter, the end of chapter 13 or the end of chapter 14, that Samson used his friends. He used his friends for what he could get out of them, but not Jesus. He looked at what he could pour into them. See, verse 13 says this in our text, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend." Not a self-centered friend, friendship, but a selfless friendship. See, in order for Jesus to be our friend, he had to be willing to pay the price. Why? Why? Because we have a bounty on our head. See, we are slaves to sin and death. And before Jesus could set us free, he had to pay the cost. See, Jesus wasn't just trying to be our friend. He was trying to save our life. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14 says this, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death." Do you know what ransom means? It's an exchange of goods for something being held. See, we were being held. Jesus knew this beforehand. He knew that before he was to extend friendship to us, that there was a great cost that was going to have to be paid for that friendship. Jesus knew the cost of our ransom was not money or all of heaven's treasures. It had to be his life for our life. That was the only thing that would suffice the debt that you and me owed. See, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, he didn't come to be served. He didn't come to have people serve him. But it says, but to minister to others and to give his life a ransom. It's the puzzle piece to Hosea. Hosea says, hey, I will pay the ransom. Matthew states what the ransom is. The ransom is his life. The ransom to redeem us, the ransom to be able to come and to be our friends was his life. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us to be able to have that friendship, to free us from the bondage that we were in, from the debt that we owed. The Bible would say, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. And what that basically means is, man, you pick the best person in this room, the most upright person in this room, the one that maybe in the community has the best reputation. And what that verse says is, maybe, just maybe, someone would die and take a bullet for that person. But now you go and you take the lowest individual of the community, the one that's been in and out of jail his whole life, the one that robs and steals and no one would give the time of day to, who no one would die for, Jesus died for that man. Do you see it? Do you see the difference? Do you see what real friendship looks like? See, we'll die for a friend. We'll die for our kids, for our spouse. See, Jesus died for the man that no one else would give the time of day for. That was him. But God, I love this verse right here. But God commendeth his love. You know what that means? Basically, God showed us his love. In that while we were yet sinners, basically, think about the most vilest thing you ever did. God saw it. Jesus saw it, and he came, and he thought of you, and he loved you past your sin. And the Bible says, while ye were yet sinners, in your sin, he loved you, and he died for you. The Bible says he died for us. See, Jesus didn't die for good people. He died for the bad ones. And that applies to all of us. There is none that's good. No, not one, the Bible says. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, there was a great sacrifice and suffering to be our friend. See, we're only talking about the suffering of Jesus, not to mention the sacrifice of Jesus. Think about all that he gave up to come here and to be walked about and spit upon and beat upon and belittled and humiliated by the very creation of those that he created. He gave up heaven. He robed himself in flesh and allowed himself to be in pain and suffering for you and for me. He entrusted himself as a baby to the very people that would soon put him to death. See, he paid a great price to be our friend. He paid a great price to be your friend. The choice he made to be our friend, hey, he could have chosen many, many, many better friends than me. But you know what? He chose me. He chose you. a real friend. You know, and I think it only brings us to the conclusion of this. Point number three, the decision you have to make to be his friend. Remember how I told you friendship is mutual? How many of us would agree with that? See, a friendship isn't just one way, and you're like, okay, here it comes. This is what I have to do, right? This is what I have to do. A friendship isn't just one way. And in our case, Jesus did all the work. He did all the work to be our friend. He chose us. He came to us. He died for us. So what does he desire in turn for us to be his friend? Think about it. What do I have to do to be the friend of Jesus? He has extended himself to me, saying, hey, I want to be your friend. He's extended himself to you. So what must you do to be his friend? I want you to listen to this very closely. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness' sake. There's a man named Abraham that believed God. Now I really want you to listen closer to what the Bible calls him. In James chapter 2, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. Here it is, that same phrase, Abraham, the man, just like you and me, the sinful man, just like you and me, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Do you get it? What did Abraham do to be God's friend? What did he do? Here, I'll read it to you again. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What did he do? He believed. He believed. You know, shame on us if we think that we got to be good enough to be the friend of Jesus, because you know what? None of us are. See, all we have to do to be his friend is to trust him and believe him. That's it. Look at verse number 14. It says, here it is, ye are my friends. Ye are my friends, with the exception of, ye do whatsoever I command you. You're like, oh, okay, Pastor, we have to keep the Ten Commandments. We have to keep the law. We have to keep the whole Bible. No, you're missing it. What was the primary thing that Jesus came to communicate to you and to me? Go look at John 14, 1. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. The one thing that Jesus came, and the only thing that we must do to be his friend, is to trust his word and to believe what he said. You can't be religious to be his friend. The Pharisees, no. But the publicans and sinners, yes. See, John 14, 1 would say, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He's telling them to believe in him, to trust him, that he loves them as his friends and is going to give them his life for their life. And all he desires is that they believe his testimony and his word. Do you realize when Jesus is saying this, it's the night before he is going to be nailed, or the day before he's going to be nailed to the cross the very next day? You know, what about this? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Does it say anything about being religious? Does it say anything about being baptized? Does it say anything about trying to be a good enough person or giving your money or this or that? Does it say anything about that? Oh, okay. Well, let's look at another verse. You might even know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth, what? Jesus says, in me. For whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Jesus says in John 15, verse 14, that, hey, I am your friend. When you do whatsoever I command you, Jesus' primary command was believe in me. Believe in who I say I am. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not. It doesn't say that the person that doesn't do good things or is not religious is condemned. It says the person that believes not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, the question is today, will you accept the friendship Jesus is offering you today? And maybe you have accepted that. Or maybe you've been severely confused about accepting his friendship. Thinking that in order to accept the offer that Jesus has be your friend, you have to do something. Can I say that really we can't do anything to be his friend but believe his word? Oh, how we mess it up so bad when we get away from God's word and we think we have to be good enough. We think we have to be religious enough. You know, Jesus says today to you today, will you trust him? Will you confess with your mouth that you believe in what Jesus did for you, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose from the grave to give you eternal life and to give you the forgiveness of your sins to be your friend? Will you believe that simple truth today? When Jesus says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you, that is the command of Jesus. You know, and you can't have a relationship with Jesus without trusting his word. And I want you to think about that. Jesus died for you when no one else would. You know, and I just want to kind of close with this last point. You know, we see Jesus chose us. We see that, what Jesus paid for our friendship. And we see now there is a choice to believe, right? To accept that offer of friendship. That is what the Lord requires from you and me. But I think in closing today, there is, for those that have already accepted that friendship of Jesus, that gift of eternal life, I will say this, be a friend to others the way Jesus was and is a friend to you. You know, choose to be a friend. Choose to be a friend. Make the first move. Hear people say all the time, and there's plenty of new people coming to church, hey, go shake their hand. Go be their friend. Choose, like Jesus chose you, hey, choose to be a friend. One of the greatest reasons greater friendships aren't being formed is because we are stuck in our self-centered ways. Wanting someone to be our friend instead of going to someone and being their friend. Be the friend you wish you had. Be the friend that you wish you had. Don't be the one who complains you don't have any friends. Go and be a friend to someone like Jesus was to you. See, and please understand, Jesus is not a God that's deprived and needs our friendship. No, 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 no. He loves us. He saw our need. You know, but choose to be a friend. You know what else I think we can do? Don't look for what you can get out of a person by being their friend, but how you can bless them by being their friend. You know, when Jesus came to you and me, he got the short end of the stick. Would we agree? Because we don't have anything to give to him but what he gives to us. The fact that I am a body here on this stage today and have a voice to speak is because God gave it to me and because God allows me. You know, you and me are the same, and if we're not careful, we can base friendships off of maybe a seated thought in the back of our mind that maybe there's benefit to be had there. Shame on us, because Jesus didn't come expecting anything in return, and that's what love is. Love is doing something for someone else, expecting nothing in return. But yet, how often when we get discouraged, well, I tried to be their friend, but they didn't reciprocate that. You know what? How many people did Jesus try to be friends with, but you know what? They didn't reciprocate that love back. You know, we get all bent out of shape sometimes. They didn't say thank you. Well, you know what? Hey, what were you doing it for? Thank you? And then lastly, you know, choose to be a friend. Go be the friend to someone you wish you had. Don't look for what you can get out of someone. Look for what you can pour into someone. But then lastly, be willing to be vulnerable. And this is so important. Be willing to be vulnerable. See, don't hide behind a self-righteous facade. It is in our nature. Remember how I told you that Adam and Eve went and hid? Why? They sewed on some fig leaves trying to put their best face on, right? Because it's in us. But don't hide behind a self-righteous facade, and I'll tell you why. Why was everybody turned off by the Pharisees but drawn to Jesus? Think about that. Why was everybody turned off by the Pharisees but everybody turning to Jesus? That's one of the reasons they wanted to kill Jesus, was because all men seek him. They no longer seek us. Was not Jesus holy? Absolutely. Was not Jesus righteous? Absolutely. He was completely holy. He was completely righteous. Well, the Pharisees, they looked the same and on the outside. And Jesus even said to them, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But you know why everybody was turned off by the Pharisees but drawn to Jesus? Because they pretended to be something they were not. You know what? Stop pretending to be something that you were not. See, they pretended to be holier than others, not realizing their own sin. See, Jesus made himself vulnerable. Not because he was sinful, but he was God. And he made himself vulnerable to us. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. See, he made himself weak for us. Philippians chapter 2. Being equal with God, made himself of no reputation and put upon himself the form of a servant, right? Robing himself in weak flesh. He made himself vulnerable. See, Jesus became weak so we could be made strong. See, none of us have attained sinless perfection, but I have met a few people in my life that sure act like it. And it's a big turnoff. Be real. Be real. None of us have, I don't care how old you are and I don't care how long you've been saved, none of us have reached the place of Jesus. None of us are in that place of sinless perfection. I love Miss Ruth. She's probably 80 years old by now. And I remember talking to her and before we came here, she'd pray for me all the time. And I say, Miss Ruth, you know, and I was talking to her, and, you know, how do you, you know, get to the place where, you know, you stop messing up and you don't make mistakes and I kind of knew the answer to it, but I just wanted to hear. And she said to me, and it was just, it just shows you how close a person is to the Lord when they're not afraid to say, she says, Billy, I'm a far way from where I need to be. And this woman was probably one of the most righteous people. But you know what? It wasn't like a stanch or arrogant righteousness. It was like Jesus's righteousness and holiness. It was like, it's not a turnoff because he's not looking down at you. It's not condemned by other people. It's something that like, dude, whatever that guy's got is genuine. And what the Pharisees had was something different. You know, at Brimley, listen, if you haven't accepted the friendship of Jesus, I pray that today you would, because his offer still stands. And if you have accepted that offer of Jesus' friendship, then can I say to you, start living like him. Be a real friend to someone. Make the choice. Be the friend to someone else you wish they were to you. Show Jesus to them the way that he showed Jesus to you. Don't look for what you can get out of someone. I'll be friends with them because I know I can get someone. You know, the best relationships are the ones that you know you're not going to get anything in return because, man, that's how Jesus was for us. And then be vulnerable. Be real. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, my wife, she's going to come and sit at the piano. You know, I do want to address those that came today, invited by Friend A. Thank you for coming. Maybe you weren't invited and you just came today. Thank you for being here. But can I ask you a serious question? Have you taken the hand of Jesus in friendship? Have you taken his offer to give his life for your life? Have you simply done what the scripture said? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm not talking about what you think. I'm talking about what the Bible clearly says. Have you confessed that you believe what the Bible says? Jesus, I trust you. I trust that you're not lying to me. Even though I didn't see you die on the cross for my sins, Jesus, I trust you. I believe in you. Even though I know that I don't deserve it. Even though I know that all my righteousness is as filthy rags. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Right here, right now, in the quietness of your seat, if you have never taken the hand of Jesus by confessing with your mouth, Jesus, I believe in you and I trust you. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me and rose from the grave for my sins in my place. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, be my friend. Right here, right now, he says, hey, whosoever will do what I command, he is my friend. And you can take comfort that right now, that if you believed and have called upon the name of Jesus in your heart and in your mind, that he will keep his word. And he is your friend. And you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that's willing to lay down his life for you. What won't He give you? What won't He do for you? He says, ask whatever you would in my Father's name, in my name, to my Father. And guess what? Hey, I want to bless you. I want to show you a life you never had. But maybe you're here today and you've already taken that hand of friendship with Jesus, but you sure have not been a good friend. Maybe you've been a self-centered friend. Maybe you've been self-focused, looking to get something in return, wanting somebody to make the first move to be your friend when Jesus made the first move to be your friend. Are you willing? Well, what if they don't like me? Hey, it happens. It happens. Maybe you've been a little hard because you've not been real, not been vulnerable. Maybe you've put on a facade that doesn't match the inside. I'm not saying we can't be righteous and holy, but that won't turn people off. That will draw people close. Real holiness shows people Jesus. Fake holiness shows people something they don't want anything to do with. And let that not be said of this church, that we put on a fake front. Let's be real. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you, but pray it in. The worship team's going to come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love you. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you saw my need for a friend. Even though I didn't realize that I needed your friendship. Lord, you're not only a Savior, you're not only a Father, you're not only a brother, but Lord Jesus, you're our friend. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, and all that you've done, I pray that you would work in our hearts and that you'd help us, Lord, to reach for that hand, Lord God, to confess if we've never put our trust in you. Man, I pray that if there's someone here that's never done that, that right here, right now, they would trust that you hear, trust that you know, trust that you'll receive. Lord, if there's someone in this room that maybe you're convicting them even now to be that friend to, Lord, they're a Christian. They've not been going out and making a friend. They've been waiting, or that person who's just being a friend because of what they can get out of someone. Lord God, please change us. Lord, make us real. Lord, I ask and pray this in your precious and holy Son's name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.